Hello and welcome back to the Cine Club podcast. I'm Reese.
I'm Matthew.
I'm Dion.
And I'm Billy. Today, we're reflecting back on a super fantastic summer at the cinema with the releases of both Superman and The Fantastic Four First Steps. These are both films we've previously discussed on the podcast in anticipation of their release with our Superman retrospective and our MCU episode, but we thought it would be a good idea to see if anything's changed now that they're here.
So, let's start with Superman. This was the beginning of the James Gunn's new DCU. Was it punk rock enough for you guys?
Yes.
I liked it.
It's like the easiest question in the world.
I've not met someone who doesn't like it.
No, exactly. Well, I've seen people online who hate it, but they're like,
but those like people Snyder. Who are like cults.
Yeah, they're like Snyder nutcases, who we have previously talked about.
It's sort of like in the online spaces. It's sort of getting to that point where this bit isn't good, that bit isn't. It's like it happens with every film. Mm. So like
what the Twitter cycle?
Yeah. But like, yeah, it was great. I had my point in the Superman retrospective we did where I was like, I don't know if it'll be as good as Guardians 2. It looks a bit muddy with all the Justice Gang. No, the fears are gone. Great. James Gunn did it well. I probably should have knew that he would have done it well, but I had my doubts and my doubts had gone out the window half an hour in.
Mm-hmm. A while ago, you said to me that you think the Batman's your favourite comic book film. Has that changed now?
It goes back and forth depending on the day, depending on how many edits I see of Superman and Batman on TikTok. But like, it's very close between this film and the Batman. So, you know, it's a good feature for DC.
I think for me, this film's like in my top 5 superhero films, now top 10. It's like insane how good it is and impactful it is. And it's just been out for like a month or two now. And it's just insane with
made
like...
me cry.
Yeah, same.
It's ridiculous. It's
like the first time I watched it, I started to get teary-eyed towards the end. There was just something like special about it.
What bit made you cry?
When he's talking about crypto and he goes, "You're not a very good dog, but you're probably scared." I was like,
And
then he talked to his dad.
For me, it was the bit where, like talking to dad, but also the bit where he's like having to go at Lex. I don't know why that made me felt like happy inside.
At the end.
I've seen it 3 times. Every time when it gets to the bit in Jahanpur where the kids raise the flag. Full body chills. I'm like, this is what Superman is to me. And it's like, crazy to see that on the big screen finally.
Yeah,
just the bastion of hope after all these years of evil Superman, dark Superman, boring Superman.
Mm-hmm.
He's back.
Yeah, we've had enough of evil, dark, boring Superman, sometimes all three. And yeah, we've kind of forgot what Superman actually is now. It's been
I've been waiting.
You've been a day one. I know, like Superman's been around so long. He's such a foundational character. He's the foundational superhero. He's like the blueprint that we forgot what makes him so good, I think. And I think this film's reminded everyone. It's been great. My only worry with it was whether it'd be good enough to kickstart this new DCU. And I think it's like smashed out of the park with that.
Yeah.
I think what it does really well is that I think Kevin Feige even mentioned this, but it just throws you in.
Yeah, it's like
it doesn't like force boom.
Exactly.
You.
It's like an issue you would pick up at your local newsagent, and it's like it just throws you into the story. You get the basics at the start with like the little you could picture that. Do you know like the title crawl?
Oh, I love
thing
that
at the
bit
start.
At the start.
You could picture that being in like a little box on the first panel, and it's
definitely
it makes us wish they'd kept the title cards that they were gonna have in it, like the Suicide Squad, because it just feels like a comic you would pick up, and it throws you in, no holds barred. You just got to figure out as you go along, and it works really well. Like, this is a lived-in world superheroes have been about for ages, and that's like Green Lantern shows up, Hulk Girl shows up, Mr. Terrific shows up. Who are these? I don't know. Work it out. They're fine.
Read comics.
Yeah. But that was my other point actually in the retrospective, the whole Justice Gang inclusion, like with them three and Metamorpho. I thought this is going to be too muddy. There's too much stuff going on. He's too focused on introducing all these glup shittos for the to build the universe forward and set up spin-offs. But for the roles that they had, they worked really well. Like Mr. Terrific and Metamorpho were two of my favourite characters in the film. I thought they were great. I really liked Guy and Hawkgirl, but they didn't get enough to do.
Yeah. I think with Guy though, like I don't want to say this, but like we're gonna probably get more of him next year.
Yeah, and
same with this year too. We got Peacemaker, and he's gonna be in ways. And
Nathan
still
was so funny.
He was really funny in that.
Oh my god!
I'm surprised. Like Nathan Fillion, like Guy Garner, does seem kind of strange, but then like you see him doing it and it just, it's just amazing.
He's how so, he, I mean, he's I remember so when I'd heard, you know, when like they were, when the film was being sort of written and they said, oh, Green Lantern's going to be in it, and then Guy Gardner. And I don't read many comics, but I knew him from Brave and the Bold, and yeah. I was like, really?
Yeah. I know you were proper lampooning him in one of the other episodes that we did.
I don't like him.
Yeah, it was the, what was it? It was the one where we did like a look at what's coming, and it was Superman was one of them, and you were like, I hate Guy Gardner, I hope he dies. Yeah. He's going to die 5 minutes in, I'm going to be cheering.
Oh, did I say that?
Something like that.
Probably did, yeah. Yeah, but then it started, and it's when they kill the monster. And he's like, he's talking to all the civilians, and I was like, that's quite funny, actually.
Yeah, he's great. I just wish he was more ginger. Yeah. Instead of being strawberry blonde.
If Guy Gardner and Hawkgirl did have more to do with it, would that not take the focus away, do you think?
I don't know. Because
a perfect film would have everything, wouldn't it?
Well, Mr. Terrific and Metamorpho, I think, get a decent role in it, but I think, like, Hawkgirl suffers the most from it because she doesn't really do anything.
She does have one big role in it. Which,
well, yeah, she chucks the dictator like to his death.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about all she gets to
do. It's
this
kind of setting up, which I'm hoping is the whole cracker down on metahumans, which I really do hope Peacemaker or Hell, Green Lantern or any of her series does work into that.
Yeah. I hope they don't go too gritty with that though.
Yeah,
because with the whole regulating superhero thing, it's a very real world concept.
I don't think you need to worry about tone, because Gunn said as much, like, every single project's going to have a different tone, not everything. That's the constraint that the MCU's had for the most part, where until recently every single film has looked and felt the same. DC's not going to do that, so like Superman's not the same as Peacemaker, and Peacemaker's not the same as Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Green Lantern's not the same as Swamp Thing. Mm-hmm. They're all going to be different.
And you've got Clayface, which is going to be their first horror film.
Yeah, Clayface is next year, and that's a horror film. And Supergirl, it's like an action, sci-fi, space odyssey.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even know most of these were coming out. Yeah. I didn't know Clayface was happening.
We've got the Jimmy Olsen show as well.
I can't wait for that. Is that real?
Yeah.
It's happening. Yeah.
It's like going to be like a true crime thing, apparently, where Jimmy Olsen goes through each week introducing a new villain. And like what they've done,
you gotta have Darkseid.
Darkseid, by the way, is the funniest part. The funniest bit in this film is when he's on the phone near the end.
Yeah,
and he like,
he's just punching
the air. It's so funny. Oh my god,
I really love the bit though where he's like, at the end he does like warm up to her.
He does,
the girl.
I liked it.
I thought it was quite wholesome. Even if I do kind of agree, it was definitely a bit tiny bit mean spirited.
Yeah,
that
was one of my sort of issues with it. I think they're a bit too harsh on Eve, and it becomes a little bit of a misogynistic place.
It kind of does, yeah.
And like, it is very mean-spirited, and like, I'm sure Gunn had shot a different version of that ending with Jimmy where it was like, continue that mean-spiritedness, but they were sort of like, no, you've got to make it like a nice ending. And I'm happy that he sort of got overruled on that, because they were very harsh on Eve for that film.
Yeah, they really were.
Well, is it something to keep obscure? Is she just stupid and taking those photos which happen to have secret stuff in it, or is she smart and pretending to be stupid?
No, I think she knew.
I think she knew.
I think she knew.
It's just never really been confirmed, yeah.
Because, well, she kind of knows what's happened, so she sent all the photos anyway, didn't she?
Yeah.
So she would have known, unless it was by accident, which I don't think it was.
Yeah.
She was quite good in the film when she wasn't being completely dunked on. But it's just like the whole joke of Jimmy being like a ladies' magnet, but he doesn't really want
it's
that.
So funny.
Yeah. It's funny, and then but like when he's got her in the contact, his mutant toes, and he sort of it's like, oh come on, man. You've cast like a international model to play, and he's like, and Lois is like, this is who's after you. This hot person, like, hot. I was like, what? You've cast a model. Yeah, they cast someone not a model. If you want to make that,
I love what she says afterwards. Though it's like, Jimmy, how do you do that? Like,
yeah. I love how he's equally confused by the whole thing. He doesn't get it either. That's my favorite part of his character. He's just like a normal dude.
It's the bit like when I think I'd turned to Billy. I'd mentioned it because I'd noticed it the first time. Is when you see his desk and there's a photo of him and the two women. I couldn't stop laughing. So funny.
Mm.
But yeah, Jimmy Olsen's show.
I'm hoping we get like a bunch of like, not like F-tier villains, but we get some like B-tier ones.
I think there's a rumour that Gorilla God's going to Grodd's going to be one, Grodd, which I think would be funny.
Grodd's underrated, I think. I think he's one of my favourites.
Big monkey, yeah. Isn't he?
Yeah.
What?
Have you seen
in
that?
In the Flash show.
Have you seen that? No. It's Legend of Tomorrow.
I watched 4 episodes of The Flash.
So he shows up and he goes back in time and he goes to find a younger Obama.
Is that the thing where he comes through the door?
Yeah.
Is that who that's meant to be?
Yeah. It's Gorilla Grodd from, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, different difference in quality, Superman and whatever was going on towards the end of Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
But yeah, Lex Luthor, I haven't talked about Lex Luthor.
Oh my God. Yeah. In terms of characters who I liked in that film, Nicholas Holt as Lex Luthor.
He was so punchable. I loved it. The bit where he kills the poor guy.
That
was so cathartic when he just gets launched at that desk at the end.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, you've had Harrison Ford, Big Hulk. You've had Massive Galactus. You've had Shadowy Void.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And the best villain out of any of the comic book films has just been a bald guy who's got
that bit at the end. Get his bald ass to Belle Reve. Yeah. Unbelievable.
I was like, I do feel bad for people who are Belle Reve now because he's going to have this bastard going on.
He's 100% going to be in Peacemaker.
Yeah.
Cool.
He's been sent to Belle Reve and like.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Yeah. But he was really good in it. Corin Sweat, you know, we've talked about Superman, but he was great. Smashed as it. Superman.
Second best Superman,
I would disagree. Ooh. And as... I prefer him over... To be fair, I preferred Hecklin over Reeve anyway. But I think he was quite good as Ultraman in that dual role for what he got.
Yeah.
When he got to actually take the mask off. He's going to be Bizarro.
The documentary I sent you guys yesterday, it also confirmed the voice of
He did the Hammer of Barovia voice,
which was excellent. Like, he did it really well. I kind of like that little hint towards it.
Yeah, you can't have your Clark without your Lois.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Rachel Brosnahan,
she was great. Yeah.
Perfect. She was really good. Yeah, she didn't have many scenes in the film.
Every scene that she had was perfect.
Yeah, she has a lot of long dialogue scenes, which for the Marvel babies in the audience, where there's no fighting going on, I know they clock out, but.
Yeah, the interview scene between
that
bit's really good.
The thing I wish I had we had more on them was the Daily Planet. That was my big issue.
Well, that's why I'm kind of that's what I'm hoping this Jimmy Olsen show will be, as well as highlighting all these random villains. Just be like an office style with Daily Planet, and then you could occasionally have Clark show up if you really want to. Or you could just see it. Oh, where's Clark? Did it? Oh, he's called in sick. Oh, he's. Da, 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 and just have all these stupid comedic excuses why Clark isn't there.
Mm-hmm. In the last episode, wheel him out and be like, oh, it's Clark, and then he just goes off for a minute.
Yeah.
It's like a 1 minute cameo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it worked really well. It was quite well directed. The colour palette and the colour grading, should I say, and the lighting was a bit spotty for me at times. The pacing was a little bit iffy, but I think all that sort of went out the window for me when it was just the fact that you had this Superman on screen after all this time. You've had all these negative, and that's the thing Jake said in the Superman episode, that he wanted it to be like a Superman summer, and after this film came out, all you heard is punk rocker. Mm-hmm. All you saw are reaction images from Superman.
Yeah,
everyone who you're not even like a comic book fan, this film's great, oh, you've got to go see this, it's like, oh my God, finally, people are waking up.
People are being injected.
It's insane because they had like the Fantastic Four and other like Marvel films which came out, and they've just kind of been ignored because Superman's just like became so big.
Well, I don't think they were, I think they put Fantastic Four the same month, the sort of big brother DC to try and like, we're still the big dogs, and it's kind of backfired on them.
Because it's the classic matchup, isn't it, Marvel and DC? They've got to compete with each other.
Well, yeah, it's like, Captain America was meant to be Serpent Society, and then DC revealed Batman v Superman, so they pivoted to Civil War. It's age old, but in this case, Superman's been the highest grossing comic book film since 2008 when Iron Man came out.
Wow.
And you got Supergirl and Spider-Man next year.
Yeah, Supergirl and Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Supergirl's gonna get big brothered by Spider-Man, but
you never know.
It's Spider-Man.
I know, but...
But yeah, I'm quite looking forward to Supergirl as well. After that little brief bit at the end here, you get to see the sort of inkling of Supergirl's depression, and that's going to be expanded on a lot next year. And
I'm so excited because it's based on One More Tomorrow, which I've read a few weeks back, and it's so good.
I need to read that, especially for this upcoming one.
It's definitely going to be a bit scary for crypto fans, though. I won't say why.
It's getting intense.
Okay.
You brought that down.
Mr. Terrific was a highlight as well.
He was really good.
He is the funniest character in the whole thing.
that action scene with him, like top tier.
That is where the portal that
I think just the dialogue was the funniest.
Another funny thing. I was going back to that Superman episode just before this, and everyone was like, "Mr. Terrific, come on, that can't be real. Why is he in the vault?" And then everyone's come out and was like,
"He's the best guy. We need a spin-off show now."
Well, I said last night, I really need a Terrific spin-off, and now apparently that might be happening.
Good.
So you know,
I wouldn't mind that with Plastic Man and Metamorphosis. It'd be so cool.
Well, I think that'll probably happen. I don't know. They might replace some members and. I guess we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it'll be good, but if Gunn's got his finger in the pie, they probably will do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So moving on to Marvel's latest, is it a stretch to say that the new Fantastic Four was fantastic?
Say that again.
Nah, I'd have to say
it. I liked it. And I didn't think it was as good as Superman at all. I think it's good.
I think that initial reaction shows the difference there.
I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah,
I knew I'd like it, but I thought it was going to be down.
I don't know. I think I might have to change my rating. But I was debating to see it yesterday, whenever we're going to record this. But I think I've definitely not warmed up to it as much as I thought it was going to be.
Really?
I think it just comes from the final act where it just becomes kind of
the Marvel thing. Yeah.
When I first watched it, the pacing was the editing, which goes into the pacing, because it's so obvious that there was a massive chunk of this film cut to get it under 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And like the whole film suffers for that. Like characters don't get developed enough. The pacing feels all over the place. And the third act gets hit the most. But like with Ben, you get the subplot with Natasha Lyonne's character.
Yes,
but it doesn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. You don't get enough of it.
I entirely forgot about that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Like he suffers the most out of all the team. And like, you know, it's annoying because Ben is the representation of Jack Kirby.
Mm-hmm.
And like, this is a film that's meant as a love letter for Jack Kirby. It's called 828. It's thingied after his birthday.
Uh-huh. And you get Jack Kirby in it.
Yeah. And like, Yancey Street, that's meant to be like all of Jack Kirby's grown up. It was just a bit annoying to see the thing put on the sidelines for most of the film.
They tease him, like you said, about Mr. Lone's character, but when he's watching the TV and seeing his self before, I thought they were going to go the whole similar to the comics very much early on, where he starts to feel much less in home now.
Mm.
But it's probably ironically 4 years later, so I don't think they would have done that. But even then, it just feels he's quite there. They just give him a beard.
He's there. And stuff happens.
Yeah.
Stuff happens occasionally.
I do like how people like him, don't they? Like the people
yeah.
of
yeah,
like, the kids stream like as him, opposed yeah. to is there actual is it real like? Cause I haven't seen it in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
In the 2015 Fantastic Four, someone calls him the thing nobody wanted.
Yes,
that was
Michael B. Jordan's human torch.
And then you've got their relationship in this new one, and it's so good because they're like. It's dead close. It's great.
It's like how it got the name.
It's not mean spirited. It's like a brotherly bond where they're sort of taking jabs at each other, but it comes from a place of love.
Mm-hmm.
And like you get that bit in space where they're both taking turns to wind up Reed when Reed's spouting off loads of techno babble, and they pretend to snort, and then they do the bro fist, and Johnny goes flying backwards. That was great. The character dynamics are the best part of the film.
Yeah,
like the nail the Fantastic Four. They are. The premier Marvel team, the way the X-Men are reviled and the Avengers are sort of like the co-workers, the Fantastic Four are family, they're like big celebrities, and that's you get that in this film in the way that you didn't really get it in the other ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you can really see that the writer does love the series, but
yeah, totally. The writer and director, amazing. It's a complete love letter to the original Lee and Kirby run, and like this retro 60s aesthetic works so well for the Fantastic Four. As soon as I heard they were doing that, I was on board,
yeah.
And it's like this and Spider-Man were probably the only films I was looking forward to after Endgame, and I'm pleased that it's a good film. It's not a perfect film, but it's a good film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's enjoyable enough for me, but I would definitely say there's issues where I would kind of go, okay, maybe it isn't as good as I wish it was.
Yeah, totally.
I wouldn't say I got very too excited for it, but I would say I was definitely in the middle of, oh, this is going to be great. And I think after Superman, I think it got worse because thinking, oh, maybe it'll be like Superman.
But that's exactly what I mean. It's sort of, it spoiled it a little bit with Superman coming out and being so good. And then like the next week or the week after, Fantastic Four comes out and it's got all these much more glaring issues than Superman had.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's nothing to do with the performances. It's nothing to do with the direction. It's nothing to do with anything like that. It all comes down to, I'm assuming, what must have been a studio mandate of getting it under 2 hours.
The Marvel formula is what it is. So it can't break free down from that.
The thing is, I think that's very funny. The worst thing about this film is we wanted more.
Yeah, we wanted more, but they cut it. Yeah. And like Matt Shackman, the director, said as much like, oh, there are more scenes, but we're not going to release them.
Who else do you think suffered? I feel like Silver Surfer suffered quite a lot.
The Surfer got really good scenes, but she didn't get enough development.
Yeah.
Everything from when they land on Galactus, well, actually from going out into space, getting towards Galactus' ship, all the way to the black hole, best bit in the film.
Mm-hmm.
Top five scenes in the MCU.
I think the bit with Johnny where we find out Johnny has learned the language and then it's one of my favourite scenes in the whole movie.
That's great.
But then she doesn't pop up again until...
Which was very strange.
That's true, actually. They have that bit with Times Square and then she disappears and she doesn't reappear for another 20 minutes.
Yeah.
She needed to be more important to the plot, which is something that the original Fox ones understood, hence why it's called Rise of the Silver Surfer. Because the Silver Surfer's important. You can't have a disappear for 20 minutes in the final act just to show up at the last minute to stop the sacrifice or whatever.
Because you know that very, very famous image of Silver Surfer sitting on the edge of the edge of the board looking out into space?
Yeah.
I was expecting something like that. I was expecting Silver Surfer to fly away, contemplate everything, and then come back, which is probably what happened off-screen.
Yeah, exactly. Just,
we don't get that. Like, oh my God, you're still in the film. Forgot about that.
I know, and it's such a shame because Julia Garner is an incredible actress.
She's really good.
Like I've been on the bandwagon since Ozark, and she's finally started to sort of get loads of mainstream films this year. She's just been in Weapons, which was all. She was really good in that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wish they'd given her more to do. Mm. But I think for the most of the rest of the cast, aside from those two and kind of Galactus, they get good stuff to do. Sue's the highlight of the film. She's Vanessa Kirby's brilliant.
I think what I really love Vanessa Kirby, I think Johnny for me was the one which made me really...
I was pleasantly surprised by Joseph Quinn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was the most independent, wasn't
he? I will admit that for the past few months, for reasons beyond my control, I've been like, oh, I don't like him much.
A George Harrison shaped hole in your heart.
Yeah, there's a big George Harrison shaped hole. And I was like, oh, I'm not really looking forward to it, but I really liked him in this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he's really good.
He was the one I was most skeptical of going in, because I knew the rest of them could pull it off. Like, everyone had doubts about Pedro Pascal as Reed.
Going into it,
I was like, he can do this, I know he can. What does he get cast as all the time? Struggling fathers, who's sort of on the cusp of morality.
Yeah.
That's Reed. His whole thing where he goes to speak to Sue and she's like, you rolled that around your head, and he's like, oh, it's my job. No, that's not your job, it's just you. And it was the perfect portrayal of Reed. I really liked the original, but that was spot on. And it was nice to actually sort of get the autistic representation of Reed, which is sort of something that they've skirted around a lot of the other time.
I've never really thought of that before. I'm not a big Fantastic Four fan, but it never really occurred.
I really love the bit where the thing's like, oh, I'm surprised you aren't crying in your room. And then Reed's like, that's be later.
scheduled time for it later. And he's all like, it's sort of always been subtext, but I think it was confirmed a few years ago. I'm glad that you sort of got that in this way. He rolls everything around his head and he looks for the logical answer, even if it's not what he wants to hear.
If there isn't one,
He knew that Franklin had to be the bait, and he was trying to get around it. He's like, oh, I haven't worked that out yet. But Sue knows him that well. That's just like, yeah, I've worked it out. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of me, like, what's going on? It's like,
oh, the bit where she freaks out, so good. I actually felt bad for her because you can see like she was actually like...
You feel bad for both of them, don't you?
They've got brilliant chemistry.
Mm-hmm. I will say though, the scene after that was a bit weird where they were cut outside and they're suddenly outside. And
That goes back to my problem with the editing. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. If a lot of the scenes feel like they're cut too early, it leaves you sort of a bit confused on the time scale between things. So like... the most famous shot for me was from the trailers was, do you know when Johnny chases the surfer into space?
Yeah. Yes.
You've got the shot where he's like looking up and he's got his hand reached out. They cut that out of the film. Well, like what? They've cut John Malkovich out of the film. What?
Yeah. Who was he supposed to be in the film?
Red Ghost in his army.
Yeah.
They keep the orangutans at the start, but they don't keep John Malkovich.
You do see what he could have looked like at the end of the film with the end credit scene.
He's in the cartoon bit at the end, but that's the extent of it. Yeah.
Mm. I heard something as well, or saw something rather, that the whole bit with the talk show and that montage was supposed to be a big opening action scene.
That's annoying.
And someone re-edited it together from what they could, and it showed everyone like going around saying things. You know when Johnny sucks up the fire from that big power station, Reed's there as well, the explosion's behind him in the same location, and Sue's like saving people from the buildings. Ben's there.
I would like to have seen
as well.
That was one of my other issues actually. There's not enough Fantastic Fouring, if you get what I mean.
Because they're that well established, aren't they?
Yeah, they don't do the... There's not loads of action and they don't get to use the powers loads. Mm-hmm. Like Reed hardly stretches in the film or anything. And I saw an interview with Shackman where he was like, oh, I wanted to go from like a more physics perspective of it, so he has to like balance himself out, and that's why he doesn't do... That's why he doesn't turn into a teapot.
Well, that's why he gets like slinkied out at the end, isn't he?
Yeah. But,
Do you know what I liked the most about this?
Go on.
Do you know... And I was hoping they would do this when I was watching the trailers, and they did. And I think they did quite well. There's a genuine sense of dread.
Yeah.
When they realise when they come back and they're like, how did they beat him? And they go, we didn't.
Mm-hmm. That tonal shift as soon as they go into space from all the hopeful optimism to just the bleakness.
Valve Innocence Galactus is un... Yeah, I love him. I think he's
so
good.
Scary.
I wish there was more of them.
Yeah.
I'd kind of tried to avoid... seeing any photos of him, but I'd seen like a promo image a while ago of Galactus, and I was like, oh, I didn't really want to see that until I'd seen the film. Mm-hmm. He looked good as well.
He
looks cool.
I've changed my opinion on this because when I first came out, I think, no, he looks quite over-designed, but I get it now that he's that big. He needs to have a bunch of like techno lumps on him. And
to me, his design was like, obviously it's a retro futurism sort of design to the Earth. Mm-hmm. Everything's quite basic. It's quite 60s. But then you've got this alien unknown coming in, and he looks like a Star Destroyer from Star Wars with all the little bits on him. Mm-hmm. He's completely different in his design. It represents how much of an unseen force they don't know what to do in the face. Like, it's nothing like the first before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. His, like, big ship as well is entirely different to everything
else. I kind of liked we got the ship because I remember like reading something way back saying he had the ship and stuff. I was wondering, will he just be like walking around in space, or will he have the ship to come?
Yeah, because
I think him just being around in space is a little underwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you make him really, really big. Like,
he tends to use the ship more often than just flying about.
Yeah.
But the only gripe I had was I kind of wish his suit was a little bit brighter. But
they kept
the colours quite well.
Yeah, the colours were quite well, but they were quite muted.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it worked. It worked. I'm glad he wasn't a cloud. But like, you know, that goes back to the fact of how much of a love letter it was. And like, I don't usually like to throw that term around, but this was.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it really was, because there's even a bit where I didn't notice this. I only saw it the other day. Do you know when on the talk show, and the civilians are going, "What's that? You Fantastic Four?" And there's four people.
Yeah,
it's the class from the 1994.
Well, they show up in other roles in it as well. So, like, do you know when Johnny takes all the fire in, and he gives someone gives him a salute? That's the original Human Torch.
That's really cool. I really love that.
And then, like, when Silver Surfer first shows up, and they go to Times Square, it cuts inside of an office. It's a Timely Comics office with who's meant to be Stan Lee and Jack Kirby.
Yes,
which it's brilliant. I love it.
Okay, there's one bit I want to talk about. That is probably going to raise a lot of contention here. The post-credits scene.
I think, genuinely,
if you look at it like this, right, and it's not easy to look at it like this, when I was watching it, I forgot who was playing Doctor Doom.
Yeah.
So in the cinema, I was like, oh, that's so cool. It's Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah. Suspiciously, yeah. Robert Downey Jr. shaped Doom.
Yeah. You know, I think it may have peaked if the mask was also Robert Downey Jr.'s face.
Yeah.
I would love
that. It was
like
one of them like plastic masks.
Five Nights at Freddy's like fun time animatronic sort of. It's like, fake it's face, silly. Yeah.
Imagine the Jupiter and it's not him. And he's not playing.
If he's just Doom for that film, that would be the best play ever.
I'd love it. It'd be funny if like Doom, Robert Downey Jr.'s not playing Doom, but he's playing like someone else is playing Doom. Because I remember there was a rumor that one of the actors from RRR was going to play Doom.
I think it was, do you know the one, was it Shahrukh Khan?
Oh, yeah, I've seen that,
yeah.
I don't know how true
is.
Is
he going to play a different version of Doom? I don't
know. Like, I wouldn't be surprised, it's a multiverse thing, but like, if you look at the film, standalone, disregard the fact that everything is going to get thrown to the wind next year, it works really well.
It does,
but I'm just worried because the Russos tend to take the characterization any way they want in these films. So like with Infinity War and Endgame, a lot of the characters acted a bit funny compared to their own solo
stuff. Guardians were a big example of that.
So like I'm worried that the four will lose their sort of individuality.
I'm worried they're going to be split up for most of the film.
I don't know why they're letting the Russo brothers do this film.
Like, because they're kind of, well, they're the set piece guys.
Yeah,
that's
but if you look at, can you name me a film they've made other than the Marvel films?
Nah.
Electric Stage.
Was it good?
Oh.
Red.
No.
No, it wasn't Red.
Was
it the Grey something or other?
The Grey Man.
They made nothing but tat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I don't want to be this person, but I think they've done some stuff which were good.
Well, they've done TV and then Marvel. But, I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic. It's going to be cool, but like, it's had no build-up. They've pivoted last minute to have Doom be the big bad. So you've had no build-up to Doom. You've got all the Avengers have been assembled off-screen.
Yeah.
You've seen the bootleg Avengers come together on-screen in Thunderbolt, but you haven't seen
I'm going to be sad because I really...
You haven't seen the actual Avengers come together. You know, that would have been nice. Yeah, you know, have these after credits instead of like how Nick Fury was in the original build-up, have Sam show up in the end of these instead of Wong being in everything. So you're like, oh, Shang-Chi, come join the Avengers. Join the Avengers.
Mm-hmm. But to be honest, I do like Wong, so it's nice
He's definitely a meme.
I like Wong, but I would have preferred build up to the Avengers over Wong watching Sopranos.
He spoiled that for me, by the way. I was in the middle of watching The Sopranos and he says what happens. I was mortified. But
are you going to message Benedict Wong? Like, just saying he spoiled
it. It was just... I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic, like I say, because it's not even like a really good roster of characters, because you've got the new Avengers, which is like the Thunderbolts, and it's just loads of super soldiers with guns and then Ghost. You've got... I don't even know who's on the Avengers. You've got Captain America, Thor...
Captain Marvel,
Ironheart.
She's not even been announced yet. None of those have been... It's like, I think Captain America, Thor... Shang-Chi. I don't even think she's been announced yet. The Hulks haven't even been announced yet.
The Hulks should.
They probably will be in it. Black. That's the thing. They've introduced.
Who are you going to say that?
Black Panther.
Yeah, so put,
the new Black Panther, not.
Yeah.
Who's the new one?
Shuri.
I've not even seen the second Black Panther.
I
don't even think she's going to be part of the Avengers because they've announced her. M'Baku and Namor, so I think that's just going to be like a separate
Wakandan team,
Talokan faction, not Avengers related.
Is Namor? Is there going to be too much plot going on? Because
don't
want to spoil.
This is all
going to
be. For
I don't want to spoil Black Panther, but it does end with Namor kind of going, yeah.
Didn't even remember he was in that.
Namor pretty much wants to destroy the Earth, really.
Getting back on topic, instead of talking about Black Panther, it's sort of like, it's all over the place. You've got too much going on, and I'm worried the four are going to get lost in the cracks, because you've
definitely.
Got
yeah.
New Avengers, New Avengers number two, Wakanda, possibly Young Avengers if they get announced. There's too many Avengers.
Well, we know the MacGuffins.
The X-Men.
We know the MacGuffins definitely going to be,
it's going to be Franklin.
Franklin,
Loki, Sentry. So that's Molecule Man for this film.
I'm hoping, right, that the This will add some effect to this post-credit scene. I'm hoping that the Doom in the Fantastic Four's universe is dead.
Well, we
whatever,
know he
right?
does exist because there's a bit where the
yeah,
show...
you get all the Latveria bits.
Man, okay, so is he their universe's Doom?
Yes.
Yeah, he is. And then he runs away from them into the main universe.
That is the only way I can see them making Doctor Doom work with no build-up. Make him this universe's Doom and have them have some sort of prior experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, again, do what Superman did, jump into it as it is. Don't go, this is a comic book. If you open the comic book, they're Doctor Doom.
Since he's got, Iron Man's face, everyone could be like, oh, it's Iron Man. But then the four are like, oh, well, no, he's a bit of a wrong-un.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then
it could be, tension, conflict. Because I'm sure Alan Cumming, who's coming back as Nightcrawler for some reason.
Yeah.
He said in an interview, he leaked it in an interview, I'm fighting Pedro Pascal, so obviously they're going to come, Fantastic Four are going to come to
blows with. Have you seen the video of him, of Pedro Pascal, telling him off?
No.
It's funny.
I just can't fathom why they've cast Robert Downey Jr. Oh, yeah, they'll make the money.
Hopefully it'll make
the
money.
In the Battle of December.
everything's that they've been releasing is 500 mil or less, and I'm sure they're paying Robert Downey Jr. an extortionate amount, mm-hmm. and that's just going to him. That's not with the rest of the budget.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of films coming out in December. And when I mean a lot, I mean big blockbusters.
Yeah, I'm sure the next Dune's coming
Doom,
out within the
no,
same.
Nah,
oh,
yeah.
They're screwed.
Yeah. If Doomsday is somehow good, I'll get a tattoo of Robert Downey Jr. on my back.
Imagine I'm going to write
a massive
down.
One.
Just a massive mm-hmm. Robert Downey Jr.
Listeners out there, note that down.
Hold on.
I love this film.
We've set up the tattoo GoFundMe right now.
Robert Downey Jr. used to eat cheeseburgers.
Want to put your money in that?
But yeah, sort of closing statement on Fantastic Four. It is pretty fantastic. It's not as fantastic as I would have liked it to have been.
Yeah.
It all comes back to me, to the editing, which knocks on to everything else.
Yep.
If they'd not cut out about half an hour of stuff, I probably might have liked it as much as Superman. Mm. But because they did that, I don't.
Well, I think that's all the summer blockbusters we have time for on this episode. And now we pose the question to you, dear viewer. Which of the two was your favourite? Did you like the superb Superman or the possibly Fantastic Four? Get in touch with us at cineclub.podcast@sparksunderland.com.
Also, make sure to check out our socials at @thecineclubpodcast_spark on Instagram, @the.cineclub.podcast on TikTok, or the Cineclub Podcast on Facebook. They're all good ways to keep up to date on the latest podcast developments, so check it out.
And as always, this episode was recorded and produced by us, the Sunderland University students, as well as being edited by Emily Main. Special thanks goes out to Steve Cannon, Barbara Sadler and Richard Berry. A reminder that our Justice Gang,
not a name,
this week has been me, Matthew,
me, Rhys,
me, Billy,
and me, Dion. This has been a Cineclub production for Spark. Thanks for listening.